Hello and welcome to On the Irregular Season 4 on Creativity and Grief. As the title suggests, this season is slightly different to previous seasons. Up until now, I've invited guests to tell me their story of their irregular creative paths, how they got to where they are, and how their varied experiences have influenced their life choices and creative work. Through these conversations, 36 in total, I noticed a recurring theme: loss, and with loss, a process of transformation. When I look back over the last 10 years and my creative process throughout my 30s, I realise that so much of it was born from grief. Losing our baby daughter Alma shook my world to an extent where I questioned everything: who I was as a person, how I wanted to spend my time, what I was doing with my life, and it also provoked an overwhelming urge to create. I had joined a writing workshop group whilst pregnant with her, as these feelings were already returning, so when we lost Alma, the need to find a way of expressing the hurricane of emotion moving me in every direction possible became even more acute. I wanted to connect with the world around me that felt more vivid than ever before. In some ways, I felt like I had returned to an adolescence when so many experiences were a first. I was now experiencing the world for the first time as a person who had lost a child. I can only describe it as walking on shards of glass that are reflecting incredibly beautiful rainbows. I slowly, tentatively returned to drawing and writing poetry, for which purpose I had no idea, but it felt necessary. Then we had our eldest son, Griffin, and again my world turned upside down. Except this was a different type of grief. A grief for the loss of my sense of self. I no longer knew who I was. So much of my identity was tied up in the dinner parties we hosted, the vintage clothes I wore, organising hill walks and weekends away with our groups of friends. I was always up for a bottle of wine after work. I was always the last one standing at the party, or asleep on the sofa. But suddenly, my old clothes no longer fit or felt appropriate. I didn't know how to dress as a mum. My job was now to breastfeed and attempt to soothe an endlessly crying baby. And this is an uncomfortable thing to say out loud, but I had never planned to be a mother. It had never been a role I saw in my future. We had become pregnant with Alma unexpectedly. It had taken a huge adjustment to accept that I was going to be a mother. So then when we lost her, I didn't know how to undo the adjustment I'd made mentally and emotionally when envisioning my future. So we went ahead and decided to try and have another child. But this was not a role I had ever placed any self-worth in or a sense of identity. It didn't make me feel whole, as some parents had told me would happen. My self-worth has always been tied up in my creative work, which previously had been as an actor and working in the world of theatre and TV. So once I became a mother with a babe in arms, and I could barely get dressed, let alone create anything, a lot of what I felt was insecurity, loss, and resentment. Frustratingly, it was also a fruitful time of creative ideas. I was fueled by adrenaline and the psychosis of sleep deprivation and the buzz of new life, which just meant I was overflowing with ideas and inspiration. I just had no way of physically implementing them. So in this new state of being, I arrived at the conclusion that I could no longer continue with my job as a theatre agent. I wanted to be present for Griffin, and secretly, quietly, I wondered if by not returning to work, I would find an opportunity to explore creative avenues that I hadn't had a chance to yet. I was grieving who I had once been, and thus it propelled me to mine this new version of myself and the world. What did I love? What within myself could I revisit? Which passions could I resuscitate? I felt nervous, as I felt too old, like I'd missed the boat, ashamed that I hadn't been to art school or studied creative writing. Who did I think I was, thinking I could be an illustrator, an artist, or a writer? But in some ways, I wonder if, because the worst had happened, we had lost a child, a little part of me just kept pushing me towards the cliff, because there was a quiet, steadfast feeling that this is what I needed to do. I was blinded by the headlights of my own desperate need to create, and what was the worst thing that could happen? So eventually, I did. I created. I created a body of work, of writing and drawing. People started to order commissions. I designed my first line of stationery cards. Eventually, I opened an online curated homeware store which incorporated so much of what I loved. Magazines approached me to feature or create for them. I was booked to style events and run workshops. I was commissioned to illustrate a book. And now that I look back, I see that this all came from a whirling tornado of grief for our daughter, for myself, and through the process, I began to find myself again. So for this season, I wanted to explore this relationship between creativity and grief further and more in depth. So I put out an open call, inviting creatives from all backgrounds to share their experiences of loss and grief and how it's informed their creative work and lives. This series of recorded conversations are a selection of some of the fascinating, talented creatives who got in touch via email and generously shared their stories. There is no hierarchy of grief. No grief is more or less important or interesting. Each is as vulnerable and tender as the next. So choosing which stories to share as a podcast episode and which to remain as a thread of emails between myself and the storyteller was an incredibly difficult task. What I decided to do was to include as broad a spectrum of loss as I could with the emails I had received. Loss of a parent, loss of a child, loss of a partner, loss of health, loss of the lives we had expected to live, loss of a sense of self. There were a couple of people I had in mind that I wished to talk to, such as my neighbour Rosie and my old drama school friend Helen, but I waited for them to approach me to share their story, and luckily they did. I've always invited guests in the past, but for these conversations, I needed to know that the guest was entirely secure in wanting to share their story on a public platform. The ball was entirely in their court. Recording this season was quite a different experience to previous seasons. It required a slightly different type of focus, a slightly different silence when listening, an honouring of these precious stories. It's also extremely important for me to make it clear that I am not a trained therapist. I am simply a person who finds stories fascinating and enjoys supporting the process of telling them and exchanging thoughts and ideas. Many times I was lost for words. Many times in retrospect, I spoke when I should have remained silent. This theme of communication was also touched upon, how we respond to the grief of others, and how we each hope others will respond to our own grief, and how we often don't get it right because it can be such a delicate, complex thing. I cried often when listening to the guests, and cried often after clicking end meeting on our Zoom call. I also laughed a lot. Each conversation is different, some gentle and quiet, some raucous and energetic. But the common threads I found in each were humour, frankness, empathy, self-reflection, hope and love. I invite you to listen to these conversations. I found them thought-provoking, moving and above all, so full of love. But I must warn you that as you can imagine, they feature a lot of swearing, references to death, sex and suicide, and quite a lot of raucous laughter over the absurdity of where grief can sometimes take us. Welcome back to On the Irregular, where for this season we will be exploring loss, grief, and how this manifests in our lives and creative work. I cannot wait for you to listen.